Let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, again, all of the fellowship this week and all of the word going forth. And Father, we just, again, give you this teaching, this meeting, and we just ask you that you would take it where you would have it go and that you would finish sewing up this particular part of the revelation, which is, of course, your plan. And just, again, take us where you would have us go. And we just thank you that you're preparing us perfectly in all things. In Jesus' name, we give you all glory and honor and praise. Amen. Well, we were talking this morning more about the true spiritual environments and their importance. And of course, initially, true spiritual environment that's most important is the individual believer being in the presence of God. But see, it's the same pattern, because as each individual believer is in that place in the inner chamber, then they can receive the instruction to go to the corporate environment that they're to be in on any given day. I'm not just talking about fellowship, but I'm also talking about where they're supposed to be. And then we began to talk about God's plan as far as establishing these different spiritual environments within each locality. That's where it starts first, and then that's spreading out and networking through other different localities. And the good news is that this is going to be something that happens at a great and accelerated rate, an exponential increase. So tonight, I'm going to talk a bit about some of the things that are going on right now. And then I'm going to share the experience I had it was just about a week after I received that vision of the local church that I shared yesterday. And God actually showed me physical and practical amount of power coming, to empower us to walk in the normal Christian life in this age of the glorious church. So I'll share that, and then after that, I'm just going to touch on, and I do repeat this, there's no way that I could possibly cover, each one of those is a series in itself, let alone a teaching in itself, but about 15 aspects of the fruit of the glorious church that's going to affect first the church and then those in the world. So we'll get started, and it seems like a lot to cover, but God's got this perfectly planned out. So I talked this morning a bit about the plateau of respectability and the comfort that kills, and how it's so dangerous for the Christian to be in a place spiritually where they're still controlled by fear, where they've come into a place of comfort and seeking after that which they can derive from man rather than going to God first. And the fear of man really is rooted in the desire for the gratification of our own soul. And of course, that's not the way God planned it. And we really need to be free from that as Christians and develop our relationship with God so that, again, our relationship with God and the love that's shed abroad in our heart will cascade down and affect everybody in our sphere of activity and where we go. Now, it's important to understand that, and this is a pattern throughout history. It's not just a pattern for this time right now, but without exception, those who maintain a religious mindset in this hour will not receive the true teaching coming forth from the throne room. And therefore, they will not receive this last wave of the apostles and prophets and every other office of the fivefold ministry. And that filters on down, not just from those people, but also from us. As we go forth in obedience, we are going to have an effect on wherever we go. And I'm going to come back to that. And I've talked previously about the fact that we will be vessels of holy fire in this era. And I will share, it looks like in closing, two words that the Father gave me he's telling us how the chief characteristic of the glorious church will be holy fire going forth. So just, I don't have time to go into this now, like in this series of teachings, but I will say this, that when you are walking in that place of holiness, you are going to effect a reaction wherever you go. And that really is the sign of the true Christian life, that you will provoke reaction. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, it depends on the state of the person that crosses your path. So we need to be ready, but we will be ready as long as we're filled with the love of God. We need to be a people, again, that are free of the fear of man, and therefore Satan has no opportunity to cause us to take offense, those types of things. We need to understand that the old wineskin will not do in this hour. We need to become those new wineskins that are talked about in the Word. And this is a whole new thing. And Jesus mentioned it, knowing what was going to happen. And we need to be those holy vessels that can receive the fullness of God, that all that God has for us in this hour. The day has come where God has dealt with his people, those who truly love him, and it's his desire to remove every ground of fear from us, every ground that, of anything that would prevent us from trusting God with all our heart. Because again, when we trust God with all our heart, then the spontaneous result of that will be to exercise an absolute faith, working through a perfect love, and then of course manifesting in that perfect obedience that God requires of us. And because of this, every last aspect of the Father's will in this last hour will come to pass, and it will bring forth the advent of a spotless and unblemished church. And again, this will be at an accelerated rate. And you know, it's very important because we know these things are coming down, and it looks like there's a lot of people caught up in religion and a lot of other things and not in a very good place spiritually. But it's just a true spiritual paradox in this hour that while it's extremely late in the prophetic timetable where the church is concerned, it's still very early at the same time. And just in the way God is going to do things, people will be able to repent and come into the proper place immediately. And that's very important to understand, because this thing is just beginning in essence, and yet it's going to be a supernatural thing, and many people are going to get set free. We have to understand that the world systems, the world and its systems, are perishing rapidly. And believe me, many people are being affected by that out there, especially Christians who have children of God who have kept their, well, at least one foot stuck in the world. And it's coming to the point where they can't get by on those little elements that they held to in their self-effort anymore. And again, I mentioned this before, but that's why these true spiritual environments have to be ready, so that when they turn their heart towards God, which they will, he's drawing them, when they need to have a place to go. It's foolishness for somebody to come out of any kind of religious bondage or bondage to self and then go back into an environment that's teaching the same thing. That makes no sense at all. So God is, you again can see the importance of these environments being established. They will see in us the things that they're lacking. They'll see the joy, they'll see the peace, and they'll see prosperity in the face of maybe financial disaster in their dealings in the world. So it's extremely important. We have to remember that what one is clothed with on the inside, and that for us means the presence of God, will define what they are clothed with on the outside. And what they are clothed with on the outside will demonstrate the deepest state of one's heart towards the Father and his will. So on the one hand, if you have a Christian that is filled with the Spirit of God, they're going to see the Father, they're going to see Jesus as they truly are. And on the other hand, we all know this, if people are on the inside are clothed in fear and unrighteousness, we see the fruit of that also. So it's one or the other, and each person has to make a decision to go all out. 1 John 4:4 in the Amplified, the Bible says, "Little children, you are of God, you belong to him. And you have already defeated and overcome them." And he was talking about the agents of Antichrist, because he was warning the early church about how the spirits of Antichrist had already begun. And that just simply means anti the Holy Spirit, basically anti the Anointed One and his anointing. "Because he who lives in you is greater or mightier than he who is in the world." And when I first began this and God called me out to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe his word, I went on a fast in November 83. And it was a 7-day fast, and right in about the fourth or fifth day, God began to show me some things. And you have to remember that I had some word in me, but I was just starting to intercede for the glorious church. I had no idea what God was going to give me. And one of the things I remember quite clearly was that the Holy Spirit said to me, I was reading that verse, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just said to me, he said, "Even though all of the forces of Antichrist stand right outside that door," and he was referring to the door at the front door, he said, "they will not touch you, for the greater one abides within you." Now, that was really neat then, but it was very prophetic, because, and that goes for all of us, we really don't know what we're going to confront in this hour, but certainly the spirit of Antichrist will be confronted on every front, because the first scheme of Satan is that when somebody comes forth in the Holy Spirit, in the will of God, he's going to try and contend with that. But I'm telling you two things. One, we'll be ready. And another thing is that the corporate power in the body of Christ will just absolutely drive that spirit away. I mean, they're still doing their work out there. They're trying to establish a one world system, one world money system, all that whole thing. But nonetheless, that's an encouraging word for us. This is the kind of power we're talking about. We need to have no fear whatsoever. Jesus did not have any fear, and neither will we. We need to develop that God inside-minded consciousness of His continued presence and His continued empowerment. That's a righteousness consciousness, a Christ consciousness, you know, God inside us. Very, very important. And I read a scripture in Philippians from the WUS translation, which is a little Greek translation, a few days ago, but it bears repeating. This was something that God really blessed me with a number of years ago as I was in the process of getting free from some very serious fear. And it says this, "And do not be terrified in even one thing by those who are entrenched in their opposition against you." Now, for us, we're looking at the powers of darkness and whatever else is coming against us. Our battle is never against flesh and blood. So we look at the opposition that's entrenched against us as the devil and his forces. "Which failure on your part to be frightened is an indication of such a nature," that would be the divine nature, "as to present clear evidence to them of their utter destruction, also clear evidence of your salvation." And again, that's the fullness of our salvation. That's all that belongs to us in our precious inheritance in Christ. And this evidence from God. So I just wanted to throw that in there because it's really important to remember that the Holy Spirit is in us, and greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit in our life, it will terrify Satan. Satan is terrified of the Holy Spirit. That's the same Holy Spirit that threw him out of heaven. And like I always say, I'm sure that was not a smooth ride for him. And then in 1 Peter 4:7, the word states, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." Now, when Peter wrote that, the spirit of prophecy was on him. And we know that this applies to us now. Everybody who's truly seeking God knows that the end of all things is at hand. I'm not putting a time frame on it. I couldn't possibly put a time frame on it because it's not going to be a natural progression. It's going to be a supernatural progression for the church. All I know is God's going to get the job done through his people perfectly. And so he says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." And when we talk about prayer, we're talking about that intimate communion with God that allows him to impart to our heart those prayers. We get our prayers from God. We pray them out. We're in agreement with him. Boom, it comes to pass. It's that simple. When people pray prayers that are rooted in self-desire, they're null and void. They mean nothing. All right, so we need to be in that place of a sober spirit and be in that place of fellowship with God. And then in Habakkuk 2:2-3, this was a key verse God gave me in my ministry early. I didn't know, he didn't happen to tell me how many years were going to go by between the time that I first started out and he started to speak to me about my calling and the time when it would begin to manifest in its fullness. It's a good thing he didn't. I would have thought that was the devil. But I'm thank God because it was perfect, absolutely, just as it is for all of us. So in the Amplified Translation, it says, "Write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for the appointed time." And I declare to you that the vision that God has brought forth through his prophets in the Old Testament, through the early church and right up until now, that appointed time is here. And the vision has been written in many forms. And the revelation that has passed down through the centuries is now there at our disposal. So he says, "And it hastens to the end," or its fulfillment. "It will not deceive or disappoint, though it tarry." And we've all had that experience of things being delayed. When's this going to happen? Are things going to go on like this forever? No, they're not. "Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it." Now again, anytime you see the word wait in the scriptures, we cannot mentally ascend to that. We need to, it says earnestly in this translation, and God showed it to me in this way, the difference between waiting for a bus, which you're just kind of waiting for something to happen, or waiting on a table in a fine restaurant, which of course they really look after you and they make sure that, You know what I mean? And that's where we need to be ministering unto the Lord. If we're truly waiting, that doesn't mean we've stopped. It means we just continue on in obedience, knowing what we know to do. And then again, the blessings of God will overtake us, whatever needs to overtake us. And then it says, though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. And so this is the day we're in right now. And it's an amazing thing. Again, in 2 Peter 1, it says, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true or exact knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And again, this is a reference to revelation knowledge. And it's very important that we understand that we are a people to walk and abide in revelation knowledge. Even in the smallest detail, if you will practice being faithful in the little things and acknowledging God in all your ways, then He will reveal exactly what's necessary in any given instance. And the fact is that there's two things. One, I guess up until now, it's been pretty easy to handle some things ourselves. But I'm saying to you in this hour, because we love God, because we want the fullness of fruit to be born in our own ministries, and we want the people who cross our path to know God as He is, we really need to make sure that we do acknowledge Him in all our ways. And He has already promised us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And that goes on to talk about being partakers of the divine nature, just a verse later. So now I'm going to share with you what happened to me. That was quite a July in 1997. First, I got the vision of the glorious church and that glob of glory in the heavenlies, signifying people that are wholly given to God and dwelling in that place of being seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places with Christ. And then, of course, I'm not going to go through the whole vision again, but how that expanded as people were drawn to God and those things daily, that is expanding over every city. Absolutely. So that's very important. So then about a week later, I no more expected this to happen than I didn't expect that vision to happen, except I know I needed to hear that then. But about a week later, I was in a certain situation where I had to leave where I was. And I think that it was about maybe 4 weeks to go. And I didn't know what I was doing and in the what it's going to do. In the past, God had always smoothly provided. And sometimes even when I would get an apartment or something, it would be empty. And the owner would say, oh no, take your time. Just take 3 weeks to move in, which was really handy as opposed to waiting the last day and trying to do everything at once. But this time I heard nothing. I mean nothing. I had nowhere to go and no money to go there. And so I'm just in the presence of God. I mean, that'll really put you in the presence of God. And so I was doing that, and it was a Saturday, and I was in the room. This room was a darkened room actually, because it was a den built in the middle of a basement, so there was no windows. So I didn't mind. I needed to be in a quiet, enclosed place. And all of a sudden, the Lord appeared in my room. And immediately, the first thing I did, without even thinking, I just was off the bed and onto the floor on my face. It's just the way it happened. And He began to speak to me. He began to speak to me about the crowns. And one reason He did that was because I had this preconceived notion that I always, just in my mind, I didn't study it out or anything, but I always just thought, well, the crowns will be for after we leave here. And some are. But I mean, the point is, He began to talk to me about the fact, for instance, He mentioned the crown of unfading glory that's mentioned. And then He said, well, there will be no need for a crown of unfading glory in heaven, because the glory is unfading in heaven. I mean, as far as we're concerned. And anyway, He said a number of other things. And I really didn't, it was amazing. I mean, absolutely, I'm telling you. And so that was fine. And then He basically stated to me that He was going to confirm His word, or the words that He'd spoken to me up to that point. And especially this whole thing about this supernatural empowerment, because He had given me a word sometime before that. He said, in the last of the last hour, your days will be 20 to 22 hours. And I thought, you know, that's like, that obviously is going to take a supernatural thing, because I don't care how good a shape you're in. That's tough. So He spoke a number of other things, which really were some of the things I'm teaching to you. And then he left. And so that was fine. And the presence was so strong in the room that I just I lay back down on the bed and I just was pondering these things. And I just, it was such a strong presence of God. And so the amazing thing was, and you know, normally that subsides, but this time it didn't subside. So it got to be around 11 o'clock at night and I was doing a few things and I didn't want to go to bed because I figured if I go to bed, okay, this is going to subside. And so the Holy Spirit really literally had to tap me on the shoulder and say, it's okay, you can sleep now. So I went to sleep. I went to sleep, and 2 hours later, by this time it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning. And 2 hours later, I woke up like that. The same anointing was there. And the adventure began because I had some practical things to do. My son was still with me. He was away at university, but he was home for the summer. And I just began to do the normal tasks. And one of those things in those days, I had a computer, but it was so old that we could never get a modem to work in it. So I didn't have email. So I had a friend who was at that time was in ministry with me, and he had a computer with a modem. So what would happen is he'd receive the email. I'd walk over there and I'd get the email on a disk. I'd come back on my computer. I'd stick it in my computer, write the letters, put it on a disk, walk it back the next day, and he'd send it out. That's kind of prehistoric email type thing. But this is what happened. So I had these things done and I had this disk, and it was a 3.5 inch disk, those ones. And I began to walk out and go through town. And I wasn't out the door, not very far, but maybe 300 yards. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started talking. And a man drove up to this corner in front of me and he said, cast the spirit of murder out of that man. And then another car drove by and it said, cast such and such out of this and such and such. And this was an ongoing thing. And it's like I'm walking from one end of the city, it's about 4 miles. I walk from one end of the city here over to my friend's house, right through the middle of downtown. And God, the Holy Spirit was just giving me commands. I saw I saw the spiritual side of it. And I saw people go down alleys. I saw people come out of alleys. My spiritual perception was at least 100 times. I'm just saying that. I don't know how much it was. It was amazing. And the fact was, basically, I don't know how many prayers I prayed on that walk and on the way back, but it was amazing. Not to mention the fact that he was opening up the scriptures to me as I went. I saw the scriptures, for instance. I remember seeing the letter of James as, they are letters, one letter without the number. But I just saw it. I just looked at the letter of James and just saw exactly what God intended. Not just verse by verse, but the whole letter. Things like that. And I had visions and everything else. And so basically, just to summarize this, because I can't spend a lot of time on this, and I don't need to. I remember thinking when I got back, it was just like a swath was cut where I walked. I mean, demons were fleeing on this side and that side and so on. And a lot of other things happened. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this because this went on for 7 days. And a lot of supernatural things happened. And again, I'm not supposed to go into that right now. But the fact, what I want to say to you through this, before I go on to this next part, is that this is going to be the normal practical experience. Our perception is going to be so great, and we're going to operate in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, and all these things that God has promised are going to come forth in great power. So when I say we're going to go forth in power, I'm telling you I've experienced that power. And I would like to tell you that at the end of those 7 days, I walked like that for the rest of the time. I did not. God still had work to do in me, and I came back down. And of course, that had a profound effect on me. And perhaps in the future, I'll share more about that. When I share this testimony, he always gives me how much to share. And sometimes it's more than this, and sometimes it's not. And the reason I know that is because I cannot remember it, unless the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance, in this setting. So my point in this whole thing is that, I didn't finish it. So at the end of the 7 days, Jesus appeared in my room again. And he spoke to me some more on some things, just speaking to me about the different things that I'm sharing with you and confirming some things. And then he departed again. And so it was seven days, exactly, right to the hour, bookended by the Lord appearing. And, people say, what did he look like? No, what did he say? That's what matters. It was in the spirit. Believe me, if I was an artist, I don't even think I could capture it. But it was, again, I was on my face in the floor. It's just the way it is. His holiness. And so my point to say that was that in those days, my days were 20 to 22 hours. So many things happened. And not to mention what he imparted to me spiritually. seeds and the words he spoke have been expanding and exploding throughout the years. And it's why I'm in a position to share these things with you. And the fact is that he's not talking about the office gifts alone. He's talking about every member of the body of Christ walking in this kind of discernment and power. And see, the devil's got a problem and he knows it, because he's already experienced the ministry of Jesus. And all we're doing is fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus himself said, even greater works shall you do. So I just want to say that this isn't some pipe dream. This is absolutely the fullness of God's plan through the scriptures coming to pass. And it's an amazing thing. But I think the point that God would like to get across, just for that brief part of that testimony, is that we will cut a swath wherever we go. We will go where he sends us. We will say what he has us to say, and demons will flee. Absolutely. So that's good. So now I just want to share some things about the days ahead. And the days ahead are now. These aren't somewhere down the road. Okay, this is important. We've already talked about the importance of the inner chamber, and we've talked about the importance of our relationship with the Father. And we have to understand that in these days, it is the Father's desire for his children to come into his presence, and he's going to reveal the depths of his character and fatherhood to his children to a continually greater degree from here on in. All right, this is going to have distinct results immediately, and it's geared at just absolutely removing the bondages that many people are still under because of their own perhaps distorted view, or a view that the devil's distorted of the Heavenly Father. It's going to cause the removal of the inferiority complex that many of God's children have held to through sin consciousness and an unrighteousness consciousness. It's going to remove that. And I've said this before in these meetings, if you have a revelation of the Father's love for you and his approval for you, then you are going to never be held captive by the fear of man. And that is extremely important, because that's one of the major strongholds that Satan uses to influence God's people and keep them out of the fullness of all that is theirs in Christ. It's number two, or that was number two. Number three, it's going to remove all ground of fear and unforgiveness. It's going to be removed from us. And it's going to be removed from those who truly desire to fulfill all that they were created for in Christ. So that's extremely important. And then there's going to be a necessary healing wave that all ground of fear and unforgiveness will be removed from those who truly desire to fulfill all they were created for in Christ. We're talking about a healing and a divine restoration that is complete. And when God restores you, when God heals you, you will not ever be affected by these things again. This is the power of the love of God. All right, number four, there will be a necessary healing wave. And this, really what he was talking to me about there, was particularly now, as we focus in on the so-called cutting edge of the church over the last 30 years, we're talking about the prophetic movement, all right? And there's been a lot of abuses, we all know about that. There's been a lot of people hurt because of those abuses, and there needs to be a healing wave come forth, and it's going to come forth in these days. As these true spiritual environments are established, people can come in, and to a great degree, not just to lay it all on the things that have happened to them, but the people that are still taking offense at things for 5-10 years, it just can't be that way. That's why it's important to be free from all unforgiveness. And you know, you can't walk in that place, and it will just stop you as far as your spiritual growth goes. So there'll be that necessary healing wave of anybody in this past prophetic season, and you can say 30 years and more if people are still around. But it has to happen, and people need to be restored and healed from the past abuses in the church. God is going to do that in the days ahead. There needs to be a specific outpouring of the Holy Spirit and that same healing wave on the pastors from that same season, the last 30 years. Those who are truly seeking God, I mean those pastors. Many of those, just the way the system's been set up, they were set up for failure, absolutely. And the reason why is because they were being controlled not by the Holy Spirit, but by men and by their own fear. And that has to pass away. So those people who truly desire, those people, those pastors, those shepherds, who truly desire to enter into the fullness of their kingdom position in this last hour, will be able to partake of this specific outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the healing and restoration that they need. And then, and also, in many cases, people walking in that particular office or position don't have a revelation of the way that things are supposed to work in a true working fivefold ministry. And because of that, there's been too much stuff heaped on them, whether they took it upon themselves by their own power, or whether it was forced on them in a wrong way. But either way, God is going to straighten all these things up. That's important. We need to pray for these people. We need to pray that we know in our sphere of existence, because the way things are now, many of the sheep are being mistreated, and we don't want them to have to stand judgment for that. Not to mention that the sheep need to be also being fed properly and guided properly. In this time, because of these things, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, elite kingdom troops, and now we're talking about the army of the Lord, are going to be both restored, and these people I'm talking about are going to come into this place and be prepared for battle readiness. In other words, again, that place where they're going forth with pinpoint accuracy to cut that swath I talked about wherever. And it's an amazing thing. And then, when God said he was saving his best for last, he was not exaggerating. Absolutely true. We're going to see, as the result, again, of these true spiritual environments and this great wave of people coming to the Lord with their heart wholly given, laying down their past self-effort and self-sufficiency, we're going to see the advent of a true working fivefold ministry in these environments. I shared some on that this morning. But basically, again, everything is ordered in these environments by individuals being obedient to God and allowing God to unfold it, just as he would unfold it, bringing the right people, bringing the right offices, the right giftings, and so on and so forth, all orchestrated by God. This will bring forth that advent of a true working fivefold ministry. And again, I defined that this morning. The fivefold ministry is not there for entertainment. It's not there to give people words apart from God. It's where the people of God are seeking God, and then when they receive the necessary revelation or seeds or impressions in the inner chamber, then God can use people in the place of ministry to confirm that word that they received, to steer them along on the path, to encourage them. But it's not for the sake of people running around getting a word so they can just ignore it and go to seek somebody else and get a word that they like until they, you know what I mean. And that thing has been backwards, and it's got to be righted. Because the key job of the fivefold ministry is as servants to lift up the people of God into that place until we're all at the unity of faith. All right, that's just so important. And number eight is there's going to be a superabundant release in these days of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There is going to be revelation of the deepest mysteries of the word come forth. They're already coming forth. And it's going to edify the people, and it's going to strengthen the people in the sense that they will know what's going on, and they will be able to counteract everything that the devil tries to bring across their path with supernatural wisdom and revelation. So that's extremely important. And this again is for each individual believer. And so as we get this tremendous surge of revelation and we come together corporately, it's going to be continually expanded. And, you know, it's not hard to understand that in light of the fact that we're going to be with God eternally. And so that is an ongoing thing, this ever-expanding presence of God and character of God. But we need to represent him now here in the earth because we've got a job to do. And so we will have that superabundant release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then, of course, one of the great effects this is number nine, one of the great effects of the consecration that the forerunners are going through and coming towards God and coming into the inner chamber is that it will emit a very powerful and strong and heavy anointing of total and absolute consecration. In other words, when people come into your path, they're going to be experience the Holy Spirit to such a degree, well, like we talked about before, they will be brought to a point of absolute decision. And when they make the right decision, they will experience a strong desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I'm seeing that in people. And it's a neat thing, because once they come into the inner chamber and begin to fellowship with God and get that, it's just like the old thing about, you know, if you teach a man, if you give a man a fish, he can eat for a day. But if you teach him to fish, he can sustain himself for a lifetime, exactly. So basically, that's the same way. When people, and that again, I'll say this right now, one of the key ways to analyze or to discern whether the ministry that you're partaking of, whether it's a word of prophecy or a ministry or a teaching or whatever, is that a true servant of God in this last hour will most certainly, I mean most certainly, the key of their entire ministry will be to lead people into the presence of God. That is the job of the fivefold ministry. Not to lead them into their church, not to lead them into their ministry, not to lead them into their presence, but into the presence of God. And if God so leads them to them, that's fine. And that's, again, another thing that's been totally backwards, but God is writing that. So that's important. But it's a wonderful thing to know that we are going to be used as vessels that will create a hunger and thirsting for God when they see us and that anointing coming through us. Number 10, we're going to see the establishment of the Father's perfect order. And I shared this morning about a vision God gave me. I think it was this morning. If it wasn't, it was yesterday. And it was a long time ago. And I saw all these people moving around in perfect harmony. I mean, again, it was an amazing thing, because up until that time, God had been showing me all the problems in the church, and then, of course, having me pray for them, and also beginning to reveal His answer to those problems. But the fact is, it was just perfect order. Everybody was being led by the Holy Spirit. Who was supposed to be speaking spoke, who was supposed to do this, did this, and it was just a wonderful thing, just a flow in the Spirit. And when there's a flow, it's like a river, there's no self-effort. You know, when you get in a canoe on a river with a current and you just get in and you go downstream, you just flow. You don't have to paddle even, all right? So this is the whole thing, that God is going to establish His perfect order in the midst of His people, and that's very important. We need to be in His perfect order in our own individual lives, and that's what will help that corporate order manifest. And this is a key thing in the heart of the Father. We know that the devil, as far as marriages, families, and really any other relationship that you can think of, the devil has taken full aim at for many, many, many years now. Well, really since the advent of the family, basically, simply because he knows and understands, well, I don't know if he understands it, but he knows that when people come into agreement, that it's going to be a corporate power that he can't resist. That's why he tries to get us in agreement with his lies, because then he knows he's got us controlled. Well, when we come into agreement with the Word of God and the will of God, then there's a power there, a corporate power, that he's there in our midst, and Satan cannot defend against that. So that's an extremely important thing. And again, when people are in the inner chamber and they're all walking in one accord, that corporate power will manifest automatically. And God is going to provide. In this time, he's going to restore many marriages. Each situation is unique, and I'm not going to sit here and try and preach to you on all the different ones. I'm just talking about the fact that those who are truly seeking God, whatever position they're in, God is going to do miraculous things, and he's going to cause glorious marriages and glorious families to be raised up as a sign and a wonder to the world of what happens when people in agreement, stand in agreement with him and in covenant with him and in covenant with each other. Going to do amazing things. And of course, this will affect the children. And they will be living in a place far above the wiles and the destructive attacks of the enemy. It's that place I'm talking about. See, Satan can't go up here. You know, he's here. That's as far as he's going. When we abide up here, then he's not going up there. In other words, we have to deal with him, but he's not going to be influencing us. He's not going to be touching us, as John said. We have to, and again, that scripture really refers to the fact that he cannot influence our heart away from the will of God. That's really the promise that God has given us there. And we need to walk in that. And then again, this is a place, this high place, a place ordered and sustained by revelation knowledge, a place that shall be found to be impenetrable in any way by any force that has its origin apart from God's Word and the Holy Spirit. That's the promise of God when we walk in this high place. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a family, whether it's a true spiritual environment, that's what the plan of God is. When he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, he means it. We just need to be in the right position, and that's a position of faith. And then, number 12, now is the time when the glorious handmaidens are going to be raised up to fulfill the fullness of their destiny as women in the body of Christ. And I don't have time to do this right now. But the fact is, this is something that is extremely, first and foremost, on the Father's heart. He knows exactly how women have been treated throughout the centuries, and they will come in to the fullness of all that they were created for in Christ. And I can tell you this, by what the Father spoke to me, he is going to use them for special assignments that will absolutely torment the devil because he's tried to keep them down for so long. And so he's going to use women in many places where they say women can't be used. And just foolishness. I don't want to go there. That's a whole different series of teachings. But anyway, that's very important. I was in a meeting once, and man was preaching, and God had dropped a revelation in his heart. He was an inner city minister. And he didn't even want to preach this message. He knew nothing much about it until God dropped this revelation in. And this is back in 1983. And there was 6,000 people there. It was in Cobo Hall in Detroit. And we were going through the thing, and the conference, it was excellent. It was actually very supernatural where I was concerned, just by the topics they preached. And right in the middle of his teaching, he stopped. He was talking about what was the name of that? It was, anyway, God's plan for women, something like that. And right in the middle of his teaching, it was about the second day, he stops. Now you have to picture this, because this was really neat. He stops, and God had him stop. Right in the middle, almost mid-sentence, he just stopped. And he said, how many women here feel they have the call to the ministry on their life? And 3,000 women stood up. Wow. I mean, half, that's why it was such a sign of wonder, half the thing, congregation stood up. And I thought immediately, God said, you see, the devil's trying to cut my body in half by rendering them, you know, unfit or unuseful. It's an amazing thing. We really need to be in that place of revelation so that we can understand the scriptures, and instead of falling prey to the doctrines of self-exalted men and devils, we can just simply know what God has planned. And I always use the analogy, if a parent has a son and a daughter, they don't love their son more than their daughter. They don't find their son more useful than their daughter. And, you know, that is a revelation or a tradition that got in, and it's darkness. So anyway, that's going to happen. That will, and God is going to use them in a very special way in this hour to absolutely undo the devil. And then, of course, number 13, we're going to see these divine connections that I've talked about. God divinely connecting people, God divinely connecting spiritual environments, corporate groups, and in again, with pinpoint accuracy. And those divine connections are eternal. I mean, the fact is this, that the people that we work with here, on whatever scale, we're going to rule with in the millennial kingdom. That's just the way that is. Yeah. So that's the God spoke that to me one day. I was up praying about something, probably something I was worrying about at that time. He started speaking to me about the millennial kingdom. And that's what he told me. But that blessed me. So everything that we're doing from here on in God's eternal scheme of things, or rather in obedience, will effect an eternal result. Now, I can't explain that all to you, but that's what he spoke to me. So that's a really good thing. Of course, we'll be flitting around in the millennial kingdom anyway. It won't be hard to get back and forth with those glorified bodies. So that's an important thing, those divine connections. Again, that's a teaching in itself. But when we call them divine or glorious connections, it means that God orchestrates it and God maintains it. All right. That means individually and corporately. So that's important. Then, number 14, one of the key things that's going to happen in this hour is that the wealth of the wicked shall be transferred into the hands of the righteous. And as Isaiah 23, 17 and 18 speaks of, to those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. God is not raising up these kingdom finances so we can give them back to the devil. That's happened too many times in the past, and the fact is that we don't want that to happen again through us, and it won't. And again, I mentioned briefly that these finances will be used to finance the different plans, the projects, whatever needs to be established as far as establish these true spiritual environments for whatever purpose. And I can't go into that right now because everyone is unique, absolutely, and will meet a specific need and purpose in the body of Christ. So that will unfold, we'll see it. But every spiritual environment is unique, yet they're all one in Christ. So to those people out there who don't believe that the church needs tremendous amounts of funds, listen, there's already trillions of dollars circulating in the church at large and being put into dead works. That's an absolute fact. I mean trillions, I'm not exaggerating. And the fact is, God is going to change that around. So it's not as big a thing as it may seem. But now, can you imagine what's going to happen when these funds come into the hands of those who are going to work, who are going to go forth in pinpoint accuracy to absolutely devastate the strongholds of the enemy? And I'll repeat this again, because it bears repeating. It changed my thinking. Jesus came alongside me one day as I was praying about something else. I don't think I was even thinking about that. And he just said, what most of my people don't understand is that my kingdom finances are simply an extension of my authority. So that's a revelation that's good to have as a Christian. And then one of my favorites, the end of all foolish controversies is going to happen in the church. I mean, in the midst of God's people who are truly seeking Him, no more of these things, because they all have spirits of self-exaltation behind them and contention. People are contending in their mental ascension to the Word of God, to say my doctrine is better than your doctrine, and it gets very childish. But nonetheless, it's a very serious thing, because people will be led astray. Now, having said that, let it be understood, no matter what the leadership is, every individual person in the body of Christ is responsible to hear from God where they're supposed to be, what teaching they're supposed to be sitting under, what prophecies even that they read from wherever. And because of their relationship with God, they will know what's of God and what isn't. But again, Jesus said in John 7:17 and 18, or 17 basically, that anyone willing to do all of the will of God will know of the teaching. So that's the promise of the Lord, and we will. I've seen people just get born again, come in, sit in a place, and just know something was wrong. They didn't know, they didn't have any word in them, but they knew something was wrong. And yet they go into another place, they knew this was it. So you see, Jesus will look after that promise for certain. So it's going to be the end of all foolish controversies. And God is going to call to account every idle word that's been spoken in the midst of His people in this hour. He said that. He's going to judge that. And it's going to be exposed immediately for what it is. And due to a great release of the revelatory gifts in the church, and this, again, this is all the gifts, like the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, it's going to expose everything. And people are going to know what's going on. And so shall the unwholesome word be moved from the midst of God's people. And that's extremely important. We know that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so Jesus talked about out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth shall speak. And that indeed God would render judge and judge every idle word. So that needs to happen. And we need to be in one accord. We need to be those who let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth. And like Paul said, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. And that again talks about being led by the Spirit, that it may impart grace to God's people. May impart grace. That's Ephesians 4:29. All right, I'm going to deal with some scriptures here. Basically, this sums up the spiritual reality of this day, this hour. And this is the day of the Lord. And like we talked about earlier, there have been many days of the Lord, but this particular day of the Lord is Jesus coming to His church before He comes for His church. So we're going to be in Ephesians first. And I want to share this with you, because this was really a great thing God showed me, especially pertaining to the letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Now, I was preparing a message one day, a number of years ago, and I knew I was going to be dealing with some scriptures in Ephesians, so I just thought, well, I'm going to start right at verse 1 here and just see where that part starts that I need. So I read verse 1, which says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. And he said, I read it again. And it said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said that those who are not faithful need read no further in this book, in this chapter. And you know, you can understand what that means, because he goes on to explain the deepest mysteries of the kingdom and everything else. So basically what the Lord was saying to me is, if you're not faithful, you'll never be able to relate to these wondrous revelations that are coming forth. So anyway, he went on to say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Again, we're talking about this place up here, in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Again, there is the calling of the church right there, holy and blameless before Him. And it's from that place of being before Him that we're going to go out in this last hour. See how these principles are all here and they're all there relating to the things that have been spoken, but we've just not had eyes to see until these days that we've needed to see. And as we give our heart wholly to God, our eyes will be open wide. And these scriptures, as I told you in that testimony, that 7 days, God opened up the scriptures to me. I mean, I look at a scripture and it literally exploded off the page. Absolutely. Words would explode off. Scriptures would explode off. And as I said, the whole book of James, the letter of James, just exploded. So we've got some wonderful things to look forward to in these days. And then in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7 in the Amplified, it says, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." Isn't that wonderful, the way that was described, that intense love that God has for us? I like it. Our God is an intense God, and he is ready for some action in these days. "Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him for. It is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved." I don't particularly like that thing. When you think of grace, he gave me a word once and he said, "My grace is summed up in two words, and it is Jesus Christ." So when we talk about grace, we're talking about the empowerment of God. Mercy, of course, is a whole other thing, and we know that he is infinitely merciful to those who have a seed of repentance remaining in their heart, who will receive that mercy, and of course, then all that he has, the forgiveness for them. So anyway, "by grace that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation." So we're not only delivered from judgment, when you're delivered from something, you're always put into something. And for us, it's into the fullness of the salvation, our inheritance in Christ. And again, he says, "And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, the limitless or surpassing riches of his free grace in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus." Now that's a mouthful, but the fact is, you see, when I'm talking about the spiritual reality of this day of the Lord, it again comes back to this spiritual positioning in the heavenly places where he has set us in Christ. We can go there freely. As a matter of fact, the scripture in Hebrews says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." Now, we move over to Joel 3. Now, and we begin to get a picture of what's going on out there. And I'm telling you, the devil, you know, tries to blind us and make us think that things aren't happening. Things are happening. God is drawing hearts to himself. God is answering the prayers that you've prayed for the people that you've prayed for. And he's drawing them to himself and he's preparing them for this mighty army that's coming forth. So, in Joel 3:14, it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." That is spiritual reality. It's happening. "For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon grow dark and the stars lose their brightness." I like this. "The Lord roars from Zion." And that's why as we go forth as the glorious church in this hour, it's going to be a roar heard. It's the Lion of Judah that we're serving. "And utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble." Well, there's a lot in this. It's excellent. "But the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers," or enemies, "will pass through it no more." No enemy in the camp. "And in that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine." Remember, we talked about the wineskins. Well, this is the sweet wine that's going to be released. We need those. First of all, we need to have those new wineskins that God is creating in us so that we can handle this wine, so that we can go forth and be a vessel of that wine, holy wine, to others. "And the hills will flow forth with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will go out from the house of the Lord." Now, what that means, all that picture of the brooks and the flowing with water and the springs, it reminds you of John 7:38, where he said that out of our innermost being will flow living springs or rivers of living water. And he actually gave me the word in the final hour, those rivers, because it says rivers, right? Well, again, when you run, I know a spot, I've been to it, where three rivers meet, and absolutely the torrent that is created when they become one. And so he spoke to me and he said, it will be torrents of living water. And in this last hour through a holy church. And again, when he talks about flowing, it just removes the whole element of self-desire and self-effort in that. And so these prophecies are so wonderful. I mean, like I said, you do a study of Zion through the Exhaustive Concordance. I didn't have the time or it wasn't the place right now to do that. But if you do a study on Zion in the Exhaustive Concordance, you will stop and look and you will see a picture of the glorious church right there. It's all there. And basically it's saying in a lot of those scriptures through the prophets that God is coming to dwell in the midst of his people. And again, you tell me what's going to happen. I've shared some things with you, but it's going to be an amazing thing. God is in the restoration mode. He's watched many be devastated by Satan, and he's about to put Satan to flight and restore his people as a sign of wonder to the world and to raise up an army that will affect things. And then, I'm going to do the whole more here. Over to Ezekiel 12. This is a good scripture. There's a lot of good scriptures, obviously. But I mean, there are scriptures that are, they're just so profound. You know, once you begin to get the whole picture of everything, they're just so profound that, was that scripture really in there? Yeah, boy, it is. That's the good news. All right, so that's, let's see, Ezekiel 12, starting in verse 21. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel, saying, now God's coming and he's questioning the people and their hard attitude, saying, the days are long and every vision fails. Has anybody experienced that? Seems like nothing's ever going to happen. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. But tell them, the days draw near as well as the fulfillment of every vision. Again, remember we talked with that scripture in Habakkuk. He said, don't let yourself get into a place of concern. Every vision, every true vision is going to come to pass. All right, now that's what he's saying here. And then he says in verse 24, for there will no longer be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. Now the house of Israel, or Israel in this case, represents the church at large. Zion represents a remnant church that has risen higher and gone up. And so he is correcting, in his essence, the church at large. And because there has been many false prophecies, there has been much false activity in there, he says it no longer will be. For I, the Lord, shall speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I shall speak the word and perform it. And that will be a great sign and wonder. He's going to do that through a holy people who will listen to him and obey him. Okay. And again, that's that accelerated thing where things are going, that series of suddenlies are going to happen. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many years from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Now, isn't that a trap of the devil? It's like, people will either say, well, no, that's passed away, or no, that's out ahead, never believing in the now. That's the devil's trap. If he can get you on one side or the other, he's good to go because there's no faith involved and nothing's happening. And that's why things don't happen, actually. But he says, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak will be performed, declares the Lord God. Now that means two things. One, there's true vision and revelation coming forth from the throne room in this hour. And as we affix our faith to it, we're going to see these words and how they're meant to affect us come to pass. Number two, it means when we pray, when we're hooked into God and God is giving us the words to pray and decree and proclaim into a situation, it's going to happen suddenly. And an exhortation that he gave me for his people is that we must now begin to expect immediate results. We must now begin to come into a place where we believe in expect a miraculous progression, no longer a natural progression, wherein we're kind of duped into believing that this thing's for somewhere down the road. Believe now. God will take care of the timing, but I'm telling you, he's going to do a lot of things instantaneously. So that's a very, very important scripture because that's been an attitude within the church up until this time. And then I'm not going to close with this, because this will be the final scripture, and then I'm going to share two excerpts from a prophecy that he gave me. But this scripture is a key and a base scripture for us as the glorious church, as people who love God. And it's Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. All right, this is the command of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light. And it won't just be nations, it will be people in the church coming to our light. You see how this scripture exemplifies the different things that have been shared so far, and how God has had this pattern all along to have a people of such great power that nations would actually come to our light. They'll see that light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. All right, so.
It has to be because it hasn't happened yet.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. All right, now I'm going to, again, I talked briefly about the fact that, you know, we've come to the place where we understand we're to dwell up here, and that we are to be holy vessels. God, having done that work and continuing to do that deepest work of the cross, and living in this place up here spiritually. And then we realize that our God is a consuming fire, and that if we are emptied and he's filling us, then fire will be a key element in our walk. So these are two words, and I'm going to close with this. These are two words that, and they're available actually for handouts if people are interested after talking about this. If I were to give you one word, my beloved ones, to define the chief characteristic of your ministry in your remaining time in the earth, it would be fire. This fire will shed light where there is darkness, refine hearts that are wholly given, and consume all that is not of me. It is a holy fire of purification that will reveal my presence and establish my true character in the hearts of all those who are truly seeking me. So that's one aspect of that. Those of my children who have given themselves wholly to me, I shall make vessels of fire. Fire that will both expose and consume all that is apart from me and bless or empower all that is for me. As they speak my words in the power of the resurrection and the authority of the ascension, and I might add, he's already done the work of the cross, so that's the catalyst to both of those. You cannot have resurrection power and the authority of the ascension power without the cross. Absolutely, they're inseparable. Then the hearts of the rebellious ones shall surely be cut to the quick. And I said this before, but the fact is the only entity in this universe that can deal with a spirit of rebellion is the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Anything else will fall far short and be overcome very quickly. So, the hearts of the rebellious ones shall surely be cut to the quick, and the fire on the words which they speak in my name shall both expose and devastate the deepest desires of their hardened hearts and darkened minds. Truly I say to you, it is time to proceed. And as my judgment of my household intensifies with each passing day, you will see many who were thought to be beyond reproach by my people fall. And all their works, which did not proceed from obedience to my word and my spirit, shall be exposed. For as the end of this age draws to a close, every one of my children must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that any form of dependence upon the darkened wisdom of the evil one must end in death and corruption. For indeed my church shall be spotless and unblemished before the nations, and they shall see the reality of my presence to a continually greater degree, until this sinful world can no longer contain the righteousness and holiness of my beloved children. And then I shall catch them away, and darkness shall have its final hour, and so shall my eternal purpose be fulfilled, as I have proclaimed clearly in my word. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for all that you've spoken to us this entire week. And Father, we just thank you that you have impacted our hearts, and that you are preparing us. We know that you are preparing us for this glorious task ahead. And I just thank you and praise you, Father, that you are bringing us in these days to a great and holy expectation of the fullness of your plan for our lives, both individually and also our perfect part in your corporate plan. So again, we give you all praise and honor and glory. And we just say, Father, have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.